Invite you this time to turn your Bibles to the Psalms. We're going to look at Psalm 143 today. Psalm 143. Psalm 143. We'll look at the psalm in its entirety. I ask that you would follow along as I read aloud. I want to remind you that this is God's holy, authoritative, inspired, and infallible word. A psalm of David. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me in your righteousness. Enter not into judgment with your servant, for no one living is righteous before you. For the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead. Therefore, my spirit faints within me. My heart within me is appalled. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Selah. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord, I fled to you for refuge. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. And in your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies, and you will destroy all the adversaries of my soul. For I am your servant. Sends the reading of God's word, and may he bless it unto us. And notice in the bulletin, there's a place if you want to take some notes. If that's something you choose to do, I'd encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at this passage. I think that it's often we retain more. Studies show you retain more with the scriptures as you hear it and as you read it. You actually retain more as you hear it and read it and write out notes as well. Can't argue with science. So if that's something you choose to do, I'd encourage you to do that. Before we enter our time of worship, let's turn to our Lord in prayer. Join me in prayer. Lord, speak to us now. Speak to us as your servants. Help us to know your will. To teach us your will. Not only hear it, but to do it. Oh Lord, may we serve you with all our heart and soul, mind and strength. May we love you. And Lord, may you speak to us the truth you want us to hear and live by. We pray this in Jesus' name. Let us say together, Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what do you do in times of desperation? What do you do when you're at the end of your rope? When you're at wit's end? What do you do when there appears to be no relief? Or there's no comfort where there appears to be no hope? I would guess that maybe some of us might become depressed, might find ourselves shedding a lot of tears. I'm guessing some of us also become very angry. We rant, we rage, whether ranting or raging at others, or maybe even ranting or raging at God himself. And yet there are still others of us that probably just become quiet. We suppress all those feelings. We internalize everything. We bury it deep. What do you do in times of desperation? I would guess collectively we don't handle that kind of desperation very well. When I'm talking about desperation, when we face challenges, difficulties, trials, temptations, When we experience a life-threatening disease, a job loss, a tragic accident, a difficult person, a powerful sin that we feel defeated by. Charles Spurgeon once said this, "A Christian's despair should make them pray." To pray first. That's what David tells us in Psalm 143. That prayer should not be the last resort, but the first thing that we do in times of desperation. Now, scholars differ on what this trial was that David was facing. It could be that he was fleeing from his son Absalom. It could be this was written in the darkness of the caves as Saul was chasing him. But what we find in this psalm is this, that in desperate times, David desperately seeks God. And though, so to apply that already here at the beginning is to, in desperate times, we're called to desperately seek God. To not be mediocre in prayer, but passionate. To seek God with all our heart. To pour out our souls to Him. To know Him and trust Him. Even in the midst of the desperation. Even in the midst of the challenges. If you recall in our study in the Psalms, we recognize that as one church father said, this was the anatomy of the soul. You have the Psalms, the high points of the Psalms and the low points of the Psalms. And this psalm is one in which it's trying to bring us from low to high. To be passionate in prayer, to desperately seek God. You notice if you have the psalm before you, you'll notice it falls into two halves. We often might skip over the Selahs, but you'll notice that Selah is right in the middle. Scholars differ on what that word means, but I think a good easy explanation of Selah would be is simply this is a pause to stop and to think. To stop and consider. To stop and meditate. And so with that Selah in the middle here, we want to look at this psalm in two parts. Two parts. The first six verses and then verses 7 through 12. Two halves divided up by Selah. The first half we see David asking God to hear his problem. In the second half, we hear David asking God to answer his prayer. To hear his problem and to answer his prayers. So let's look at this psalm briefly in these two parts in mind. First of all, the first point is this. Just as we write the words, if you're taking notes, hear me. Just write those words, hear me. Because here, David is asking God to hear his problems. Now, we know from our study in 1 Samuel, we know that David is a man after God's own heart. But I want you to note in this psalm, just a couple of places, in verse 12, in verse 2, we see David, the king of Israel, the man after God's own heart. Notice how he describes himself. He describes himself as a servant. A servant. And as a servant before the Almighty God, he's saying, hear me. David, here in the psalm, as you can read this sense of desperation, this sense of despair as he's being pushed to the brink. No matter what the setting is, David, you can feel the burden that David is bearing here. David in 1 Samuel 20 tells Jonathan, quote, "There is hardly a step between me and death." Whatever this situation is, in the whatever desperation David is experiencing here, he never stops depending on God and continues to pray to him and asks him to hear him. Hear me. Hear my prayer, O Lord, we read in verse 1. Give ear to my pleas for mercy. In verses 3 through 4, we see what's going on. You can see as you read about the enemy pursuing his soul and crushing his life and sitting in darkness and his spirit faints and his heart is appalled. What we read in there is desperation, don't we? This is where we read discouragement. We read depression. We can read darkness. We can sense an emotional devastation that is going on. It reminds us David's life wasn't always easy. And neither is ours. It'd be foolish to think that David never experienced sufferings, even though he's a man after God's own heart. So we shouldn't be surprised that we are. That we face those times of desperation. Because in those times of desperation, we look to God and we trust. We put our faith in God. And then when we look at the scriptures and we see, you know, that Christ Jesus himself faced desperation too. Christ Jesus bore so much burdens for us. Remember on the cross, what does he say? My God, why have you forsaken me? We read how he is described as being silent, like a lamb being led to the slaughter in the face of mockery and trial. We read in the Gospels, Jesus entered a desperate world in order to save his people who are in dire straits. It's Christ Jesus who gives a hope to the hopeless, comfort to the afflicted, salvation for the sinner. In times of desperation, God, through Christ Jesus, gives us relief and hope. Now, we're not exempt from pain or suffering, or trials, or temptations. None of us would sit here and go, you know, I've never experienced desperation. We probably all have. And the question that we all have to ask ourselves isn't, will we face them? The answer is yes. The question isn't even when we will face them, because we're not sure. But what we want to focus on today as we think of Psalm 143 is how are we going to face them when they arise? How are we going to face the desperation, the desperate times when they come? David gives us a clue. Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my pleas for mercy. It's the Puritans who once said, we need to pray until we can pray. We need to pray until we can pray. David asked God to hear him. And did you notice the second half of verse 1? David finds that relief as he thinks upon God. As he thinks about his attributes. Notice what it says here, in your faithfulness, answer me. In your righteousness, David appeals to God's faithfulness. He appeals to the fact that God is faithful to his promises. David will say in verse 5, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you've done. I ponder the work of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. He says, Lord, I remember all that you did. I know this. I know the accounts. I know how you're faithful to your character, how you're faithful to your work, how you're faithful to your people. I cry out, Lord, and I know all the creation and the redemption that you offer. Lord, I know you can save me from my enemies. I know how you've acted in the past. I know how you delivered your people from Egypt. I know how you watched over them in the wilderness. David can even can say, Lord, I know that. I believe that. Pause for just a moment. Do you believe that? Do you trust that God is faithful to his promises, that he will never leave you? He will never forsake you. Because in those desperate times, we need to remember that God is faithful. Because when life seems bleak and dark and stressful, we go to God. Why? Because he is faithful. And how do we know he's faithful? We can see it in his word. If we can say that God is our God and we are his servants, then we can pray knowing God is faithful. To know that God has promised mercy to those who repent of their sins, to those who seek salvation. We can know because God is faithful to his promises that he will give ear to our pleas for mercy, that he will hear our cries. He knows when we are desperately seeking him. But not only does David appeal to his faithfulness, but he also appeals to his righteousness. In your faithfulness, answer me. In your righteousness. Some might use the word just there. And that points us to 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. David here is taking those same two attributes here, God's faithfulness and God's justice or God's righteousness. And he's saying here, thinking on those attributes and as he prays. Psalm 143, scholars say, is the last of the seven penitential psalms. We've looked at some over the years. Psalm 6, Psalm 32, Psalm 38, Psalm 51, Psalm 102, and Psalm 130. These penitential psalms where there's a cry not only for be merciful to me, but also to exercise justice on my enemies. And David here knows that God is holy, that God will vindicate him. It's Paul who will later on address the purpose of his own trials in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 1:9, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Chapter 4, verse 7, that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. Chapter 12, verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness, that the power of Christ may rest on me. That God is faithful and God is righteous. And so when we're desperately seeking God, we know that God hears us, that God is just, that he will not let he will punish sin. He will punish those enemies. And we have them, don't we? Sometimes the greatest enemy is ourselves. Sometimes the enemy is the seductive world we live in with all their desires and passions, as we read in Galatians chapter 5. And it's the devil himself. As he prowls like a lion, as Peter writes. But we must believe that God is faithful and righteous. We must believe that God will deliver us. Because that's what David is saying here. Lord, I am crying out to you. It's not like that God didn't know what was going on. But this is a cry of faith. Of trust that God will deliver us. That's why when Paul writes in Romans 8, God is just and will justify the sinner. And he does so through Christ Jesus. It's Christ Jesus who suffered for our sakes. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might be the righteousness of God. And so when we pray, when we cry out, help me, we're acknowledging, Lord, we need you. We need your righteousness. We need your faithfulness. We need your mercy. And so if you are here today, you are experiencing that desperation, or maybe that desperation is around the corner for you. We must remember this psalm to remember that when we find ourselves at the lowest point, that we should ponder and consider and meditate on God's greatness, on God's sovereignty, on God's power. To remember that God is with us. To meditate that on his deliverance through Christ. To ponder that God will help us in the present as he's done in the past. Lord, hear us, for you are a powerful God. Hear us. Hear our problems. But that leads us to that Selah. And so we can just pause and we can think on just those things that we've already discussed. But there's more. There's more. And that leads to the second point. Hear, I said your first part, just write down, hear me. Second part, I just want you to write, answer me. Answer me. David prays, Lord, hear my problems. Now it's answer my prayers. Answer my prayers. Look at verse 7. Answer me quickly, O Lord. Maybe you've had those experiences before. Lord, I kind of like an answer now. Now would be a good time. Or maybe yesterday would have even been a better time. God hears our cries and hears our complaints. And we're called to wait upon him. It's not easy. And David shows us that. Do you notice how verse 8 starts? It's always interesting when you study these Psalms. Verse 8. Even David at times was a bit impatient. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love. Lord, okay, here's my prayer. Lord, here's my problems. I need you to answer my prayers. Could you do it by the deadline of tomorrow morning? That would be great. It's not easy to wait upon the Lord, but that's what we're called to do in a number of places in Scripture, isn't it? To be still and know that he is God. And that when in the more intense the desperation is, the more diligent we need to turn to the Lord and not away from him. The more intense the desperation, the more diligent we need to turn to the Lord, not away from the Lord. Remember, prayer is not the last resort. It's the first thing we should be doing. But you'll notice in verses 7 through 12, David really does not dictate to God what he wants. You might read it, you might go, well, he kind of does. But the reality is God, as David lays his request to the Lord, he desires God's answer. That's why it's important for us to see that word, answer me. Lord, I'm submitting myself to you. I'm waiting upon your answer. And I'm not a very good patient person to wait upon you, Lord. But nonetheless, you can, as you read verses 7 through 12, you can read that sense of trust. Let me hear in the morning your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Lord, deliver me. I fled to you for refuge. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. This psalm is saturated with faith. This psalm is saturated with trusting in the Lord in the midst of desperate times. So what do we learn about prayer in these verses? Let me offer you to you four things about prayer that we read, that we've learned in verses 7 through 12. As we pray the Lord in those desperate times when we say, Lord, answer me, here are four things we must remember as we're waiting upon God's response, as we go and present our prayers to him in the midst of our problems. The first is this, and this is what we see. Our prayers should be heartfelt. Our prayers should be heartfelt. This David's cry really bleeds throughout this entire psalm. He truly is a desperate man. He's truly crying out for deliverance. He recognizes the troubles he's in. Verse 7, he senses the desperation. Our prayers should be heartfelt. As believers, we often do not realize our own inadequacies. And so when we don't recognize our inadequacies, we're not as dependent upon the Lord as we pray. Our prayer life probably has a connection to our own self-worth. our own arrogance. Because the more we think about ourselves, the higher we think about ourselves, the less that we're going to rely upon God. And so our prayers should be heartfelt. That we need Him. That we can't handle things on our own. That we ought to recognize our weakness and our need and our total dependence upon God. We're 100% dependent upon God in our times of desperation. Don't think for a moment that it's an 80-20. Don't think for a moment that it's a 99% that God does and we have that 1% to do. No, we are totally dependent upon God and looking to Him. Our prayer should be heartfelt. The second thing we learn from these verses is the idea of that our prayer should be humble. There's a sense of humility. That relates again, as I said earlier, that when we're arrogant, when we think of ourselves more highly than we ought to, it's no wonder that we're not praying to God. We should be humble. David asked God to answer in His faithfulness and righteousness. And you notice as quickly as he states that, look at verse 2, he says, enter not into judgment with your servant, with me, for no one living is righteous before God, for you. No one is righteous, no, not one. All sin, no, I'm falling short of the glory of God. Before we start pointing fingers at everyone else, we need to consider our own inadequacies, our own sinfulness. David here would rather approach the mercy seat than the judgment seat. David is aware of his own sins, and so he humbles himself and he says, Lord, let me hear in the morning your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Verse 8. It's humility. As he goes in verse 12, in your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies and you will destroy all the adversaries of my soul, for I am your servant. He is God's servant. To recognize himself as God's servant, even though he is Israel's king, he humbles himself before the Lord God. And that's why we pray in Jesus' name, right? Because of who he is and what he has done for us. None of us would end a prayer. How dare we end a prayer by saying, well, because I am so good, amen. Or because of what I did this past week, amen. We would never do that. When we pray in Jesus' name, we're already showing in our prayers the humility, our reliance upon God. That reliance leads us to a third thing about our prayers that we learn in these verses, and that's prayer should be faithful. The trouble should cause us to trust in the Lord. David trusted in that God is faithful and righteous. You see that in verse 10 when he says, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. You're not just God, you are my God. David meditates on God's redemptive work. David in verse 5. David meditates on his word in verse 8. David meditates on asks God to teach his will in verse 10. David is trusting in God in his steadfast love, verses 8 and verses 12. He looks to God for his looks to God in his righteousness. We see that in verses 1 and verse 11. And so as we pray, we are trusting that God will answer and that God will hear. You see that in the book of James, don't you? You see that in the book of Hebrews, that we are called to be faithful. So in desperate times, we should be praying. And what should our prayers look like? Our prayers should be heartfelt. Our prayers should be humble. Our prayers should be faithful. And fourthly and finally, our prayers ought to be obedient. Obedient. In those times of desperation, we are probably really quick to react. Really quick to respond. Quick to rage. Quick to seek revenge. Or even to restrain ourselves in silence. But if we're praying to God to answer us, we must have a heart that is ready to do God's will. That's why David writes, teach me to do your will. Lord, I need to be teachable. You might remember the books that were popular when out, you know, that were popular some years ago, the Choose Your Own Adventure books. God's will isn't a Choose Your Own Adventure book. God is leading us and guiding us. He's that shepherd, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. David's asking to know God's way when we're going through troubles, to know God's will when we're desperate. But David's not only asking to know these things, but know how to live through them as well, to not just be a hearer, but a doer. And so in verse 10, you'll see he goes, "Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. By your spirit, Lord, help me to live a life that's pleasing to you." And so when we pray in our times of desperation, we're praying, "Lord, answer me." We're saying, "Lord, I'm humbling myself before you. You're my servant, before I am your servant. Lord, I am pouring out all the concerns I have. I'm being very heartfelt here. Lord, I'm trusting in my prayers that you will hear them and you will answer them. But Lord, in my prayers, may I also be obedient. May I pray obediently." I believe it was Luther who once said that even my prayers of repentance, I need repentance from or for. David says we go to God. David goes to God and basically says, "Here's my situation. Hear me. Answer me. You know better than even I do. You know me better than I do. You know the situation better than I do. And so, Lord, just help me in the midst of all this to follow you completely. Help me not to waver or wander, but to follow you." So David teaches us to be humble and heartfelt, repent and believe, trust and obey. And some of us here are at wit's end. Some of us might feel like we're at the end of our rope. Some of us might be being challenged right now in our faith. Some of us are maybe truly struggling. Some of us may have cried so many tears that we don't think we have anymore. Some of us has lashed out and hurt. Some of us have been quiet and we're a ticking bomb about to explode. What will you do in times of desperation? What David teaches us is this, is that when the push comes to shove, then we pray. When the going gets tough, the tough get praying. What we learn in Psalm 143, that in times of desperation, God wants us to desperately seek him. And I would pray that we would meditate on the days of old, or remember the days of old, that we would meditate on all that God has done for us. We would ponder the work of his hands. We'd stretch out our hands to him like a soul thirsting for him, like a parched land, that we too would, in desperate times, desperately seek God. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, forgive us for our arrogance. Lord, forgive us for our trust in ourselves. Forgive us for using prayer as a last resort. Lord, either we're facing desperation now or we will be facing it soon. We would pray that you would hear us and you would answer us, and the Lord, that you'd help us to trust in you, to trust in your answer, to trust in your will. Oh Lord, you are faithful and righteous. And so Lord, may we meditate on that faithfulness and that righteousness. Lord, be merciful to us, we pray in Jesus' name, and let us say together, Amen.